Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 4 of Joyful Eating. And this episode is called Eat Meat. So I actually normally feel a bit nervous recording this. I normally don't like talking about controversial topics, but if this helps just one person, I'm happy to put myself in a bit of discomfort. So before we talk about eating meat, I just wanted to have a little disclaimer. So if you don't eat meat for ethical or religious or environmental reasons, and you're really happy with that, and you're happy with how you look and feel, you know, you've got good energy levels, your hair and nails are vibrant and growing and strong and healthy, then, you know, don't listen to this. Keep doing what's working. But the person that I really want to help with this is that if you aren't feeling your best, you know, if you're struggling with your weight, if you've been listening to like all the media attention recently about plant-based diets and, you know, how they're best for our health and environment, and if you've been cutting back on your meat intake for that reason, then, you know, I want you just to listen to my story with an open mind because it might help you. So today I'm just going to delve into like my story and my journey with eating meat. I'll talk about like how I think about it. And then of course, we're going to look at the negative health aspects, the environmental impact and the ethics. And at the end, I'll sum it all up and give you a key takeaway for the episode so you don't have to think too hard. Great. So my story, about this time last year, I had this awful thing happen where my hair started falling out. I was feeling like low energy, just feeling a bit blah in general. So I did some research and I tried supplementing with zinc. I tried increasing my iron levels and nothing helped. Like my hair kept falling out, which is actually pretty terrifying. And just so happened that a friend of mine passed on a podcast interview with Dr. Gabrielle Lyon that I listened to. And so Dr. Lyon's a geriatrician, so she's really interested in longevity and she's, you know, really familiar with how our health deteriorates at the end of life. You know, her philosophy is that, yeah, as a society, the problem isn't that we're too fat, the problem is that we're under-muscled. And she said, you know, when you get to the end of life, like muscle really is the organ of longevity. If you have good muscle mass, then you're way more likely to live longer and be healthy and active into your old age rather than those people that don't. And that really got me thinking. And in this podcast, she was really clear on her advice is that in order to build muscle and maintain muscle mass, we really need protein. And it's interesting, she said that, you know, as we age, our requirement for protein increases. So when you're younger, you can kind of get away with having less protein. But as we age, just as, you know, all the biochemical pathways and the part of the aging process, we need to eat more protein in order to maintain our muscle mass, which I thought was really interesting. And she really encouraged people to be eating a lot more animal protein. And she said, you know, while you can do it using, you know, eating plant-based, that the quality of the protein that you get in meat and the bioavailability of it is just so much higher. And I think she said, like, you know, to get the same amount of protein that you get in one chicken breast, you'd need to eat like 6 cups of quinoa. So that really got me thinking as well, you know, that how helpful meat can be. It is so nutritious. And so I just decided, like, you know, this was independent. She didn't actually mention anything about hair loss in that, but I was just thinking about meat and I was like, okay, because I'd noticed in myself that, you know, kind of more subconsciously than a real conscious decision, that I'd been actually cutting back on my meat intake. So I still was having meat, but I would, you know, probably eat half the steak that I would have normally had. And then I was eating more of the vegetables instead. And so I decided to do an experiment where I'd just like try, see what happens if I started eating, you know, twice as much meat or eating the amount that Dr. Lyon was recommending. So, you know, 7 to 9 ounces, so 200 to 250 grams of meat, you know, for a meal. And so I did that for a few weeks and you know, it didn't take very long, but it was really weird. Like my hair just stopped falling out. And I was like, oh my God, this is good. And I felt better. Like I felt, you know, more energy. You know, I struggle with my iron levels are often low. So eating more red meat really helps with that. And so, you know, my energy levels were better and, you know, just feeling much better. And so I just decided to keep going with it, of course, because I definitely didn't want to go back to the hair falling out stage. So that was, you know, over 12 months ago. And I've really noticed, you know, my hair and nails so healthy, so robust. And I do like weight resistance exercise, but I've been, you know, able to grow more muscle. Like I'm definitely more lean and muscled than I was before. And another thing that I was worried about, I think, and that was another factor that was driving my decreased meat is with my blood sugar level. So I have diabetes and I manage that with my diet. And the wisdom with blood sugar and food is that protein gets converted into, like, does impact your blood sugar. So eating too much protein can be problematic. So I was a little bit nervous about that. But, you know, when I had my most recent blood sugar test, so we test for, it's a thing called hemoglobin A1C, which gives you an indication of your average blood sugar over the previous 3 months. And my last test was 5.2, which is excellent. And it was actually lower than the test that I'd done before that. So having the protein has been, you know, if anything, it's helped my blood sugar levels. So that was like a win. So overall, I'm very, very happy. And, you know, meat's delicious and very nutritious. So this is how I think about it. You know, in biology, we're classified as omnivores. Like we would evolve to eat both plants and meats and animals. So I think, yeah, for me, eating vegetables and eating meat is definitely, it makes sense from an evolutionary perspective. And in the past, you know, when I tried being vegetarian, I actually did a month like of being vegetarian years ago, probably about 10 years ago. And yeah, during that month, I gained weight, I had really low energy, and I just felt really crappy and I couldn't wait to go back to eating meat. So for a long time, I've known that eating completely vegetarian wasn't the right thing for me, just based on how it makes me feel. But this experiment of eating more meat actually has, you know, really solidified that, and that's, you know, the best for me. And I used to think that, you know, I wouldn't be able to give up steak or bacon or whatever. However, you know, now I know, like the way that I love vegetables so much that, you know, I'd be completely happy from a food and taste perspective only eating plants. It really is this nutrition piece and how I feel that drives that decision. Although, you know, meat's delicious as well. So there's no complaints there. And I think another thing that I wanted to share, a thought that I wanted to share with you, is that the quote from Mark Twain is that, you know, whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. And I think with the media attention these days on eating plant-based, it is time to pause and reflect. And really, you know, that's one story. And I'm sure that there's a lot of well-meaning people telling that story, but really it comes down to how, you know, you should make decisions. We should all make decisions based on what feels best for us. And, you know, really come from the inside out rather than letting other people dictate what's the best, you know, nutrition for us. So what about, like, you know, a lot of people have the concerns about the negative health aspects of meat. And I wish I could say I'd actually gone to the research and looked at this, but I'm a very lazy scientist. So my go-to source for this sort of information is a lady called Dr. Rhonda Patrick, she has a PhD. And she has a website called Found My Fitness. I'm a member of her group. She does a podcast for members. And she had looked at the current research. And when you look at meat and cancer risk, so most of the research there, they're observational studies. So they look at, you know, populations and they look at big numbers and look at the incidence of cancer, the incidence of different diseases, and correlate that with, you know, people's diet. And observational studies can be useful because they can give you some information, but that doesn't necessarily mean just because two things happen to be in existence at the same place and the same time doesn't mean that one causes the other. So it can be misleading as well. So when you look at these observational studies, particularly with meat and cancer, on the surface level, they say there's a link between, so if the meat eaters tend to have a higher cancer risk than non-meat eaters. However, when you correct for other lifestyle factors like being sedentary or obese, then if you remove those, so the people, if you remove the people that are sedentary and you remove the people that are obese and the people that are smokers and heavy drinkers, then meat eaters actually have no increased risk from eating meat, which is, you know, good, great news for me because I don't have any of those other lifestyle factors. So it's gave me a lot of comfort. And the other study that Rhonda spoke about recently is a randomized control trial. So these are really great studies because it's really, you're really testing and it tells you whether there's a cause between one variable and another. And when you look at randomized control trials that have compared eating unprocessed meat, like does that impact on our inflammation, which is one of the biggest causes of ill health in humans. So unprocessed meat doesn't increase inflammation, which is a really great thing as well. However, a high intake of processed meat, so things like bacon, hot dogs, your luncheon meats, have been shown to increase inflammation. So really, you know, I think it's important to separate those two out, that, you know, lean meats or unprocessed meat, so yes, chicken breast, steak, those sorts of things, it's very different to eating bacon or hot dogs. And, you know, you should think about, I think about them in a different way. So as far as I can see, there actually is no really strong research showing if you're a healthy person that there's a, that you shouldn't be eating meat from a health perspective. And just given the way I feel, I'm very happy to continue doing that. So I don't feel like I'm putting myself at risk by eating meat, I guess is what I'm saying there. And then in terms of the environmental impact, you know, will eating meat destroy our planet? Like we're being told, you know, I'm not an environmental expert by any stretch of the imagination and have, you know, not across any of the research there. In the podcast interview that I get, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, I mentioned before that inspired me to go on this meat journey. She talks about, you know, that manufacturing and travel have significantly higher producers of greenhouse gases than beef production. So from her perspective, she was like, you know, it's not actually, you know, we look need to, there's a lot of other things that we can be doing to save our planet rather than cutting back on meat. And the other thing that I listened to recently or last year was Rachel Koo, who's a fellow food writer. I love her work. She put together a podcast called A Carnivore's Crisis, and where she actually looked, you know, did a lot of research and investigation around the whole thing of, you know, if you're eating meat, are you killing the planet? And so I'll link to that in the show notes because I think that's really interesting. You know, if you're interested in the environmental aspect, that's a really good thing to look at. And also I'll link to the Gabrielle Lyon interview as well. So if you're interested in like researching more about this, so you've got those two resources to go to. So that brings us to what about the ethics? And I think this is a huge piece for sure. And I'm very, very mindful of where I get my meat from. So I only buy from local farmers that come to the farmer's market. The only thing, you know, occasionally I buy ham or sausages for the boys that I get from a local butcher who I, you know, trust his sources as well. But I think, you know, eating factory farmed animals, that can't be good for your conscience. Or if we look into it, factory farmed animals aren't the best choice from a health perspective either. So yeah, I'm really happy to pay more for my grass fed beef and lamb and pork and chicken, and also for the peace of mind as well. And the way I think about it is food's such an important part of my life. I'm happy to spend more and have, you know, cut back on other areas if I need to have that peace of mind and to know that I'm doing the best thing that I can on the ethics front. And, you know, knowing that the animals have been raised humanely and also, you know, slaughtered humanely is really important to me. And I also have my own chickens, so I get my own eggs, although at the moment they're not laying very well, so I'm buying eggs from my neighbour, but I know she loves her chooks too. So she, you know, it is possible, it's really, you know, possible to get good quality eggs. So that's it from the ethics perspective. Right, so that was a lot. So I guess the key takeaway that I really want to impart with you is, you know, for me, on my journey, I'm planning to keep eating meat at this lot higher level because basically I feel better when I do. So I have no reason not to continue doing that at the moment. And, you know, for you, if you know, if you're struggling with hair loss or weak nails, like that, because if you think about nails and hair, they're made up of protein. So if your nails are weak and brittle and breaking, yeah, that's a really good sign that you're not getting enough protein. And so if you are open to it, you know, really just do an experiment of your own and see how you feel after a couple of weeks of eating more meat. But then you make an informed decision based on how your body feels. And you know, if you don't want to eat meat for other reasons, then you know, there are other ways to increase your protein intake. You can look at, you know, different protein powders and things like that. And that probably would be worth considering. And if I didn't want to eat meat anymore, I would definitely be looking at increasing my protein intake from other sources. So I hope you've found that helpful. I hope there's something here that, you know, is giving you some value, and I will catch you next week. Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast, and I'd love to send you a copy of my free cookbook called 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes, Simple Whole Foods for Joyful Weeknight Dinners. It's full of easy recipes so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. Just Google Stone Soup and you'll find it.